Maine legislators, the weeks after the election, are quite a rush. There's orientation at the State House, the end-of-the-year holidays, this time around the inauguration of a new governor, and the filing of legislation by the rank and file. Hello, I'm Erwin Gratz, and this is Maine's Political Pulse. This week we learned something about legislators' proposals as the titles of their bills were released, but as you'll hear, we didn't learn that much about them. Joining me as usual from Augusta, State House Bureau Chief Steve Missler and Chief Political Correspondent Mal Leary. So let's start with the process. Mal, these are titles of bills that every legislator had an opportunity to submit. It's kind of a once-in-two-year opportunity for the rank and file, correct?
That's correct. Cloture was December 31st. But it's important to note because some of the reporting on this has been an error. The bills that have been submitted by legislators aren't all the bills that will be considered this session. We've not seen the bills yet from the judiciary. We've not seen the bills from departments and agencies, which have a separate process by which to send bills to the legislature for consideration. And then, of course, the governor can put a bill in at any time. It's likely that some of her major policy initiatives are going to come later in the session, not earlier in the session. Under the regulations and rules of the legislature, every single bill is going to be considered. So there'll be a public hearing, and it'll be considered even though some of them are duplicative and some of them clearly won't go anywhere.
And of course, the other thing about it at the moment, although these will eventually be fleshed out, is all we have are titles. So, Steve Missler, There's a lot we don't know about many of these bills, especially like the ones, and there were a few of these, titled An Act to Make Changes to the Laws of the State.
<That's>
I love that one.
That's right. They're all very nebulous. I mean, some of them you can get the idea where people are going. For example, there's over a dozen bills that mention the words opioid or addiction. That's an obvious reference to the opioid crisis and proposals that aim to deal with that. What we don't know is the substance of those proposals. Stepping back a little bit, I mean, one thing that was striking to me was just the number of proposals from Democrats, which reflects, I think, the fact that there's just a lot of pent-up demand from Democrats to push a lot of big-ticket items that, frankly, have stalled over the last 8 years under Governor LePage. Now they have an opportunity to push some of these things. The list runs the gamut from energy, taxation, healthcare, labor issues, voting, and education. It's quite a diverse list of topics.
And like we've seen in the past, Erwin, there's going to be almost a second budget process from the bonds. We've got dozens of bond titles and other titles that could have a bond in them that we don't know yet. So last time around, under LePage, there was over $1 billion in bond requests that last year. It something tells me we're going to top that. And the reality is there's only so much money available to pay the debt service. So there will be a limit on the number of bonds. So that whole process is separate from the budget process, but it could be very important for some of the initiatives, particularly of Governor Mills. She talks about expanding broadband, investing more in broadband, and one of the ways it's been talked about there is a substantial bond issue.
There are other items here, too, in fairness to the legislators, that will deal with major topics, many of which we could have anticipated. There is, for instance, there will be measures proposing constitutional amendments dealing with ranked choice voting. And looking at the bill titles, the proposals kind of come from both sides.
The Republicans, frankly, they seem to have comparatively very few requests compared to the Democrats. But they have seemed to focus on the Citizens Initiative. A lot of these are leftover bills from the previous years when they were responding to sort of a proliferation of using this Citizens Initiative process by progressive groups to push things like legalizing marijuana or raising the minimum wage, et cetera. And Republicans have tried to push back on that to almost sort of make it a little bit harder for ballot initiatives to actually get on the ballot. What's interesting about that is the fact that usually the ballot initiative is a great tool for the party that's out of power, and that is Republicans in this instance. That's why Democrats used it, especially in the last few years, because even though they weren't completely in the wilderness in the legislature, they were able to hold the House. They couldn't get a lot or much of anything past Governor LePage's veto. And then I'll just flip real quick to you mentioned the ranked choice voting. which would basically get a constitutional amendment out to voters to make sure that it could be used in gubernatorial races, which it currently is not. That is among one of the proposals I've seen, or at least the bill titles. That's going to be difficult to get that passed because of reasons we've discussed before, which is that the GOP has galvanized its opposition to ranked choice voting if it hadn't before. Democrats, who are generally supportive of ranked choice voting, don't have a supermajority in the legislature to get a constitutional amendment to voters to even consider. Maybe there's some movement among Republicans to go along with it, but I haven't seen any indication of that yet.
A couple other interesting things that I noticed in going through the list of bills, there is a proposal to remove the statute of limitations on certain sex crimes. And I suspect that probably stems from what we've heard over the last couple of years from the Me Too movement and perhaps also the church sex abuse scandals.
But then again, Erwin, we're not quite sure because all we got is the title. Mm-hmm. That's one of those bills I want to see the substance.
Staying on criminal justice just for a second, Erwin, since you brought it up, one thing that's also on the list of proposals, there's a lot of them. They appear to aim to expunge the records of people who have been convicted of marijuana possession or trafficking in some instances. And this is a response to the legalization of marijuana, the recreational use of marijuana. And this is true in other states that have gone the same way as Maine. Once they've legalized marijuana, they want to basically make it so that people who were convicted under those old pre-legalization laws, they want to make sure that those people don't carry a mark on their record.
Affiliated with that is a lot of discussion, particularly from Attorney General Fry and others, to put in legislation that will mirror sort of the federal legislation that was just passed, that totally reforms the sentencing structure at the federal level to do something similar here. What it has done is there are folks who were convicted of nonviolent crimes years ago, had extraordinary sentences of 20, 30, 40 years, are going free. Because under this retroactive law that was passed by Congress, their penalties are far in excess of the crime that would now be the crime going forward. So there's been talk of that. I have not seen an LR, but this also falls under that category that the Attorney General also has the opportunity as an agency of the government to be putting a bill in. We haven't seen any bills from him yet. He just took office last week.
Any early betting on whether either of those proposals, the expungement of old marijuana convictions or making changes to the sentencing, will pass?
I have a sense that they have a good chance of it, especially with Democrats in control. But I also think that there's some, as we saw in Congress, with bipartisan support for the bill that Mal just mentioned, I think that there's support among Republicans for those type of proposals as well. I would expect that that would hold true in Maine.
And you got to remember, Erwin, the threshold on a lot of this legislation is simple majority. Mm-hmm. And in this case, we don't have Governor Levito, as many folks were calling him at the end, to be vetoing legislation all over the place. Janet Mills has expressed interest in this legislation as the governor. So I think there's a real opportunity there for simple majority getting that passed in this session.
So let me ask you this. Steve was mentioning before that a lot of the proposals would come from Democrats, perhaps from pent-up stuff over the years. But does it matter a lot who the legislative sponsors of these bills are and what party they are from?
Sometimes it does. The ones that I pay particular attention to are the ones that come from leadership, for example, because you know that bills like, let's say, Senate President Troy Jackson's bill to make sure that all Mainers have access to health care. I know he's going to put a lot of horsepower behind that bill, and he's going to ostensibly try to build a big coalition to get something like that passed. The same goes for a bill that House Speaker Sarah Gideon puts in, or one that the Governor Mills puts in. Those are the ones where you know there's going to be a concerted effort to push them. And to Mal's point back at the beginning, some of those bills just haven't materialized yet. And a lot of the ones that we've seen so far, the titles, they'll be consolidated or rolled into some of those other proposals too.
We've mentioned the importance of the budget, but I think the reality is a lot of the big topics that we've been talking about where there's money involved, you're going to see those put in Governor Mills's budget as opposed to running as individual pieces of legislation. And of course, we won't see the budget till next month.
One of the other things that the outgoing LePage administration said it was leaving to the incoming administration is a fairly healthy surplus, somewhere perhaps north of $300 million between now and the end of the next biennium, the next 2 years. Is that going to make things easier for legislators in this session?
Well, historically, it's made it more difficult. There's more money, so there's going to be more battles over how you spend the money. There's also an issue that Governor Mills has got to address principally in her budget, and that is some of this big surplus is one-time money. It's a result of the federal tax law changes. So how much of this is one-time money that you might want to use, for example, to invest in broadband or roads and bridges versus expected ongoing revenue that can support other programs that the governor wants to initiate or individual lawmakers want to put forth.
And I also think that Governor Mills is going to be very careful about drawing down that surplus. She's sort of telegraphed that during her inauguration speech, where she sort of hinted at, or didn't hint, she actually said it explicitly, that, look, we've got to be careful because there could be a recession coming. There's a lot of things happening at the national level that's out of our control. It was almost as if she was sending a message to Democrats and just saying, let's not go nuts on a spending spree here. We have limited resources. It's probably good to have a surplus. Yes, there is some pent-up need because of cuts that were made over the last 8 years to various services, or you know, they want to restore something like revenue sharing for municipalities, which is a real concern, not just of Democrats, but as also Republicans.
So let's talk a little bit about where these bill titles go from here. What is the process now that the legislature will follow in vetting and deciding on these 2,000 or so bills?
Every single bill has to have a public hearing. So every bill's got to be referred to a committee. Now, sometimes that gets contentious because there are certain pieces of legislation that kind of cross the line. For example, there's a bill in to bring back the 3% income tax surcharge to pay for education. Well, is that an appropriations bill because it's spending money? Is it a taxation bill because it's raising a tax? Is it an education bill because it's dedicated to education? So right from the get-go on some of these big bills, they're going to have to decide which committee is going to hold the public hearing, which committee is going to decide the fate of the bill in terms of its recommendation to the full legislature. The one thing we do know is every single one of these bills, there'll be an opportunity for the public to weigh in and make their feelings known about whether it's good, bad, or changes that should be made.
Yeah, and Maine's a little bit unique in that regard, right? Because a lot of other states or legislatures don't do that. Not every bill that legislator wants to put in will be vetted and get a public hearing, which was one reason why some of our sessions take so long. And it's also another reason why some of the big ticket items get pushed all the way towards the end of the legislative session. And next thing you know, we're here in mid to late June and sometimes longer than that.
And oftentimes get carried over to the second regular session for consideration because they are so contentious or they have a big price tag.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out which committee is going to get the proposal for reciprocal driver's license treatment with Taiwan.
Is that a state and local government, Mal?
I would guess that's going to DOT since they deal with all licensing matters for driver's licenses. But of course, that's a guess.
Well, you know, Erwin, I just want to add one other thing, too, yeah. is anybody who looks at this list of bill titles, it's important to remember a couple of things. One is that some of these bills were put on behalf of a constituent by request. So it may not be actually a priority of a state lawmaker. I mean, that one, I have no idea. This is pure speculation. Kind of sounds like it's one person who asked for that bill. Yeah. And that happens. So,
yeah. As I always say, Erwin, this is the first regular session, and any legislation can be put in and is put in.
Yeah. Here's one final question for you guys. For folks out there, especially if they've listened to us this long, they may actually be really interested in following a particular piece of legislation. How can citizens track where these bills are sent to committee, when their public hearings come up, what they ultimately will say?
I mean, the best tool that I would suggest is the Maine legislature's website. Right now, these bills have what's known as an LR number, That will go away once they are referenced to the committee, and it'll be ascribed a LD number. And that's the best way to track the proposal, is through the LD number. And you just punch that number in, and you can find out what action the legislature has taken on it. For the layperson, that's exactly how they can do it, and I would recommend it. It's a public website. They're paying for it, so they should definitely use it.
Steve Missler and Mal Leary, and that's Maine's Political Pulse for this week. We air abbreviated versions of Maine's Political Pulse Fridays on Morning Edition, or you can catch it Sundays on Weekend Edition. Our next podcast will post Friday afternoon. Find it where you found this one. Our producer is Willis Ryder Arnold. Music is by Rob Holt. I'm Erwin Gratz. Back with you all next week.